Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. You are listening to episode 55, Seven Essential Universal Laws, with Christy Whitman. A little more on Christy. She is a New York Times bestselling author of over three books, Taming Your Alpha Bitch, The Art of Having It All, and Quantum Success. Christy is a highly sought-after life coach with hundreds of thousands of followers and has developed an action-based approach to applying the seven essential universal laws to help people overcome their dependence on those vices that keep holding them back from living their best lives. Now, understanding the principles of each law, which is what we're going to talk about today, and using them to create a more intentional life can bring alignment and deliberate focus. This can help quell any of those limiting beliefs of feelings of anxiety, struggle, and lack, which often drive a person to rely on internal or external vices. Christy has shared her expertise about these seven essential universal laws on national television and in print, including on The Today Show, The Morning Show, and in People, Women's Day, 17, and in Teen Vogue. Listen to today's episode with Christy Whitman, where we discuss the seven essential universal laws and her seven Vice Day Freedom Challenge. So without further ado, please enjoy episode 55, The Seven Essential Universal Laws, with our guest, Christy Whitman. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And I'm your host, Lauren. And today we're talking with Christy Whitman. And she is a transformational leader, celebrity coach, New York Times bestselling author of The Art of Having It All, and the CEO of Quantum Success Coaching and Learning Academies. So welcome to the show, Christy.
Thank you so much, Lauren. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, of course. I am excited. I'm excited to dive into the quantum with you today. Awesome. A little bit more about Christy is she's also appeared on The Today Show, The Morning Show, and her work has been featured in People Magazine, 17, Women's Day, Hollywood Life, Teen Vogue, and among many others. She's the CEO and founder of Quantum Success Learning Academy and Quantum Success Coaching Academy, and which is a 12-month law of attraction coaching and certification program. Christy has helped thousands of people worldwide to achieve their goals through her empowerment seminars, speeches, and coaching sessions and products. Christy's life-changing message reaches over 200,000 people a month, and her work has been promoted and featured with the esteemed authors and luminaries such as Marie Williamson, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Brian Tracy, Neil Donald Walsh, Abraham Hicks, and Louise Hay. She currently lives in Arizona with her husband, Frederick, and their two boys, Alexander and Maxim. So that was the formal introduction. Wow. So I'm sure you used your own, you know, quantum principles to kind of propel you to be where you are today. But I have to imagine you didn't always, you know, live that lifestyle, maybe more of sort of a victimhood mentality versus more empowered today. Could you kind of lead us through how you got to be where you are today and your why behind doing this all the things you do?
Absolutely. Thank you for that invitation. Yeah. I was in my mid-20s and I had accomplished a lot and, you know, graduated from college. I moved to Chicago with my best friend. I was living in a brownstone in Chicago and I had a great career, making great money. And I just felt so unfulfilled. And I just felt like, God, even though I was having a great time in the kind of lonely parts of my, or the, you know, quiet parts of my mind, it wasn't so quiet. And I felt very, very unfulfilled. And I didn't know why. I couldn't understand that. And so I actually moved from Chicago to California for what I call the latest bad guy, because I was a bad guy attractor. And so when I got to California, I was there about a month, and he had been cheating on me with another woman. And so I broke up with him. But right before I broke up with him, I found out that he introduced me to a woman that was a hairdresser. And so I had to get my hair cut. So I went and saw Janine, and I was just enthralled by her. I was just mesmerized by her because she had something that I knew I didn't have. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't have language around it. And I was just watching her and observing her talk and the stories and the language that she used. And I finally, just because I'm just me, I just went, okay, I got to know, what do you do? And she started laughing because, you know, she understood what I was asking, even though I didn't understand what I was asking. And she says, I do a meditative practice. And for me, that was so like, meditation, what? I mean, this is like 24 years ago. And it wasn't commonplace. We didn't have all the information that we have now. When I thought of meditation, I thought of like some guru swami, you know, on a mountain somewhere doing a lotus position. And I had no concept of what meditation was. So I was like, meditation? And she said, yeah, just call my meditation teacher. Her name's Melanie. And so I contacted Melanie as I was literally dialing her number on the big cell phones back in those days as I was walking out of the salon. And I found myself in front of Melanie at her house, and it was very woo-woo and crystals everywhere and rainbows and, you know, all these different things. And I was like, what am I getting myself into? Because this is not what I was used to. And so I sat down with her, and she said to me, you create your own reality. And I paused inside myself, and I'm like, that's true. Somewhere in my inner wisdom, that I had never heard that before. It wasn't like The Secret was out, or we had lots of podcasts and the internet and, you know, lots of people writing books about this. If the books were written, they were like in a far corner of a very witchy kind of, you know, bookstore. And when she said that to me, I just knew it to be true. And then I said, how? And she said, well, your thoughts, you're either repelling things from you or attracting things to you. And again, I let that sink in. And it was a yes for me. That made sense. It was truth. And I again went, how? And so she gave me an assignment. She said, start paying attention to your thoughts and understand that just observing your thoughts, you can choose if you want to keep that thought process or not. And when she said that to me, I'm like, choose my thoughts? What do you mean? I mean, I had no idea that I just thought the thoughts that I thought were real. I didn't know that I could actually stop a thought and choose something different and decide to think something else. And so that was amazing to me, to actually do the homework assignment and to actually start observing my thoughts. And as I did, I was almost walking around with my mouth open like all the time, because I was so negative. I was constantly criticizing myself and others and the universe and God, because God should do it a different way. I was just condemning everything. I was just negative and in a space of looking for what was wrong and bad. I was what now I understand to be in the mentality of lack. And I was constantly comparing myself to other people. And as I started to get really curious about what is this type of thought that I'm having, I started attracting more information to me. All of a sudden, I had a book that just plopped in my lap, and I had a workshop that was happening at a local, you know, New Thought church, and I decided to go. And there was a teacher that was talking about, you know, the law of sufficiency and abundance, which I now have gathered in my own teaching as the seven essential laws. And so I just started applying them, and I started changing the thoughts, and I started doing affirmation and doing meditation, and really becoming conscious of my energy. And after a very short period of time, I started attracting things like a very different type of man. I was in a relationship 8 years and married to a really nice guy, you know, very, very different from the other guys I had ever dated, very loyal, very committed. And we got married, got a house together. And one day I was feeling like, you know, at this point I was a pharmaceutical rep and everything, I was making great money, but I didn't have much purpose in what I was doing. And I really wanted to feel that sense of purpose, but I had no idea what the form of that purpose looked like. So I started to feel what it would feel like to be on purpose. And it was right after that, that I started on a consistent basis, putting in the essence of purpose into my, you know, energetic field, where all of a sudden my first book downloaded through me and I got the book published and I started speaking in like New Thought churches and spiritual bookstores. And when I was doing like workshops on a Friday night, you know, to just like six people in a room, people would ask me, do you coach? Now, Lauren, I had no frame of, this is 19 years ago now. I had no frame of reference for what a coach was. I thought, well, like a cheerleading coach? I mean, what kind of coach are you talking about? And they're, no, where you help people move past their, you know, things. And I'm like, is there a name for that? Yeah, it's a life coach. People get paid for this? I was like, what? So I would just have people, participants call me on the phone and they would have just huge leaps because I was working with them with their energy and their mindset and, you know, their feeling sense and all that. And I just loved the feeling that I felt so on purpose with it, that I went to school for it. And I was a pharmaceutical rep for many more years after that, but I was coaching people at night and on weekends. And I was actually coaching people on my team and they were having massive success because they didn't know about the universal laws. And universal laws are tried and true. And if you start to apply them, they open up vortices of energy of what you do want instead of what you don't want. And so I've just been on this journey. I've started my business full-time about almost 14 years ago now and haven't looked back. So that's been my journey.
Amazing. Quite the journey. Indeed. Yes. I'm assuming you have a podcast about conscious relationships. So I'm assuming that you manifested the right guy into your life as well. And it's just amazing when you show up and become that person and change your energy, you attract completely different people. It's the same story in my life as well, that I attracted a completely different partner that I didn't have to go anywhere to get. I didn't know, this was in the past couple of years, so online dating was really big. Didn't have to go online. I wasn't even looking.
Yeah.
And that's how powerful these universal laws are. And could we just go into briefly, I mean, we only have, you know, less than an hour, those seven laws, and kind of give us examples of each and maybe how to apply those.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, first one's easy because a lot of people have already heard about law of attraction because of The Secret. I like to start from the basis that everything is energy. Now, a lot of people have already heard that, but it's not, a lot of people are living from that place. And so because everything is energy, we are, as a physical being, we are energy receivers and we're energy transmitters. So we're receiving energy all day, every day, and we're being influenced by energy either by on this physical plane, either by mass consciousness of, say, fear, or we are tapping into a higher stream of energy and being in the receiving mode of something that's coming from our divine self, which is pure positive energy. So we're in receiving mode. We receive energy. We have a choice in where we receive that energy. And we also have a choice in what energy we generate out. And from that energy that we generate out, we then have the same, it's like a boomerang. What you send out comes back to you. So what you're sending out in your thoughts, in your words, in your perspective, in your emotions, in your actions, from our beingness of generating out, we then receive back that which matches that energy. Because all energy carries a vibration. That vibration matches with other energies of that vibration. And then it creates into physical form, whether it's the man, the money, the career, the whatever it is. So that's law of attraction. Now, law of attraction isn't something you apply. It's law of attraction is doing it. It's literally just a mere reflection of what you're getting back. That boomerang, you send it out, it's going to come back. Where we get into where we need to apply the laws is the second law, which is the law of deliberate creation, where we're the ones that have a choice because we have free will, where we're going to put our focus, where we're going to put our thoughts, where we're going to put our emotions. Like me in the day when I was talking about it, what, I can choose my thoughts. My thoughts aren't real. We can you know, have something that happens and have a reaction to it, and then realize that that same reaction is going to continue to create the same situations over and over again. So for example, I know money is a big thing. Every human needs it. Most humans have a negative relationship with it, or if they have a good relationship, they still have a lot of unwanted things around money. So let's use money as an example. You feel you don't have enough money, and there's a lot of people that do that, even if they have money. You feel you don't have enough money, and all of a sudden you get an unexpected bill. You're looking at this, and now you're feeling in lack, even more so. So you're giving off a vibration. The bill comes, and now you're even more fearful. You're in the place of, I can't afford this. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how I'm going to pay this. So you're looping into this spiral of lack. And when you're doing that, by law of attraction, it's going to match your vibration and give you more evidence of lack. But if you are a deliberate creator, you then look at that bill and say, okay, I can choose my thoughts. I can choose my reaction. I can choose my perspective. First of all, what do I want? Why do I want it? How do I want to feel? So when you're shifting from what do I want, now you're taking your mindset off of the contrast, what's not wanted, and putting it on what you do want. You're shifting your focus. And when you ask yourself, why am I wanting this? Now you're starting to evoke all the fun energy, because as you start to think about the whys, I want to have this amount of money in the bank every month so that I can travel. I can pay my bills freely. If there's an unexpected bill, I easily have it and it's not an issue. You know, whatever it is. And then the bottom line, why? The vibrational reason, the essence, because I want to feel free. I want to feel secure. I want to feel joyful, whatever it is. And now you're vibrating in a different way. Now you're the one that deliberately created this new vortex of energy. And then law of attraction by law has to match that. When you start to do that, it kicks in the law of allowing, which is the third law. Law of allowing is when you feel expanded, when you feel aligned, when you feel that positive flow of energy, you feel good. And when you feel constricted, when you feel like you're in lack, when you feel like you can't get out of victim mentality, you mentioned that, when you feel like there's no solutions to whatever issues that you're having, there's a constriction that happens, there's a fear, and that's not allowing. It's not allowing the flow of the universe for things to manifest. So that's the third law. Fourth law is really, for me, the one that I feel pulls it all together, and that is the law of sufficiency and abundance. So the fourth law is really important, because when you look at things as a spectrum, on one side you have lack, and on the other side you have abundance. And there's a tipping point somewhere in the middle where you have to tip into abundance, and that place is satisfaction. That place is, you're really satiated. You're feeling the positive aspects of things. You might not be over the moon, but you can at least find the positive aspects. You could be grateful, appreciative, and that gets you more into the realm of abundance. Lack always feels bad. Abundance always feels good. And you know how your flowing energy on any given subject, whether it's a man or not, a friend, a money, a career, well-being, whatever it is, based on how you feel when you put your attention on it. Bad is always lack, good is always abundance. Fourth law is the law of pure potentiality, which is understanding that the goals, the desires, the ideas, the clarity from which the contrast came, the what do I want, why do I want it, how do I want to feel, when you're in that pure flow of energy, those desires came from a higher part of your higher mind. And if there is yourself having the desire for it, there is pure potentiality to be able to create that in form. But form always follows energy. There is pure potentiality of energy to seek itself into some kind of form. That's what energy does. So the sixth law is the law of detachment. This is a law where when we think of what we desire, right? So after my first marriage, I knew what kind of partner I wanted. I didn't want to be just with any partner. I was very specific. I had a scroll that I wrote. Lots of different characteristics and things and qualities that I wanted, and deal breaker things and those sort of things. So I was attached to the quality of the kind of person. I was attached to the idea of having one person that I could create a history with and create a life with. I didn't want to just date and, you know, that sort of thing. So having that history, having that committed, loyal person in my life was important to me. The how, the why, the what, the where, the when, the who, that stuff was details that I had to detach from and literally let the universe provide to me what I couldn't even conceive of. When I was living with my first husband, I was living in Redding, California. And when I went through this divorce process with him, which is very amicable, very proud of the way we handled it, I found myself literally moving from Redding, California to Philadelphia. If you look at a map, you cannot go any further on that map than Philadelphia from Redding. It was literally a straight line. And while I was there in Philadelphia, I got the download. I got the insight to sign up for a conference. So I found myself at this conference in Ellenville, New York. And again, having the desire, I could feel him in my life, totally detaching from when I was going to find him and who it was going to be and all that kind of stuff. I would ask myself, why do I want this partner? And I really wanted to feel deep connection. I wanted to feel deep love. So I gave that to myself first. So I wasn't in lack of it. I was actually fulfilled with that essence energy. And here I was the first day of the conference, and they told us to pick a partner. And Frederick, my now husband, turned to me, and the first words he ever said to me was, "Will you be my partner?" And he was from Montreal, Canada. I didn't even know there was a Montreal, Canada. I was always flirting during, you know, geography in school. So I didn't even, I was like, Montreal, where's that? So, you know, I ended up moving to Montreal, living in there. My kids were born there. It, you know, the universe has such a beautiful way of surprising us and delighting us and astonishing us. And when we let go of our attachment, because if we think that it's got to be this timing, this person, this way, this form, then we can't allow the unlimited to do the impossible, because it's not impossible. It's pure potentiality. The last and final law is the law of polarity, which is really important for us as human beings, because where pure potentiality is, or, you know, where the divine is, there is no polar opposite. There is no polarity. But here on planet Earth, as a physical human being, we are both metaphysical and physical. We have both evidence of lack. We have abundance. We have fear. We have love. We have up. We have down. We have left. We have right. We have polarity here. And when we can understand that there is a part of us experiencing some form of lack, there is a polar opposite part of us that can experience abundance. What's possible over here in the lacking of having the partner or the lacking of having the success or the well-being or whatever it may be, there is that pure potentiality, and not only pure potentiality, but that probable quantum probability of us having ourselves with the guy, with the money, with the success, with the fulfillment of all that we desire. So those are the seven essential laws.
Wow. And quite very powerful to sum that up. And I think for me, practicing these laws in my life, I realize that it's never about the end result or what you get. It's that person you become and those emotions that you embody along the way. And it took me a while to get that, but I did.
Lauren, you have just described the new book I am writing, and I'm turning in my manuscript tomorrow, called The Desire Factor. It's exactly that, is that we might have a desire, we may have a focus, and when you flow that energy through you and it enlivens you, that's the journey. It's not about the end result, because how many times do we get the desire, get the end result, and we're like, okay, great, now what's next?
Yeah,
now what's next? You know, now, yeah, next goal, next goal, next goal. And it's like, it's the desire factor. It's the life force that flows through us while we're on our way to manifesting. It's not the manifestation. It's the joy we feel along the way to manifesting. So you literally just said the like words that came out of my book. I'm like, wow.
What's happening? I knew this was going to be a good interview.
I love it.
For me, I guess maybe you could coach us or walk us through. When I first started learning about law of attraction stuff, I was going through it, my own divorce. And I was like, okay, well, I clearly know what I don't want.
But yes. I had, you know, like I had trouble, like, I, you know, I know physically what I don't want in a relationship, but it's like, I just, you know, I want to feel better, but like, I don't know what to do. How do you help someone get clear? I know a lot of times now I have clarity and direction and where I want to go, and I have to catch myself from that, you know, if then happiness is no, just like you said, that gratitude tipping point of yes. grateful for where I am, but also wanting more to keep expanding and keep growing. So yes. coaching people, myself, more so health coaching, I see people like, well, I know I don't want to feel bloated. I know I don't, you know, blah, 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 blah. How do you coach someone through maybe what they don't want into those emotions or getting that clarity to be able to apply those laws?
Great question. Because we are so focused, we're so ingrained, we're so trained to focus on what we don't want, that that's where we naturally go to. I don't want to gain weight. I don't want to feel bloated. I don't want to lose my marriage. I don't want to lose my keys. I don't want to, you know, get caught in traffic. That's where our minds naturally go, because we're clear about what we don't want. And then we don't take the next all important step, which is asking ourselves, what do I want? So when you're clear, you hear yourself, well, I don't want that. I created a whole entire 30-day free program called Watch Your Words, and you can go to watchyourwords.com. But one of the words that when it needs to be like a trigger point, when we hear ourselves say, don't, I don't want that, we want to be able to stop ourselves, because we're still flowing energy towards what we don't want. And if we continue to flow energy towards what we don't want, based on law of attraction, we get more of the same. So take a moment to just say, well, what do I want? So you might not, in a perfect example, I did this with my first husband, great, wonderful man, but there were a lot of qualities that I was clear that that's just, it doesn't do it for me anymore. And so I made a list of all the qualities. This is where you get to be negative, right? All the qualities of what I didn't appreciate, what didn't resonate with me, what didn't feel like it stimulated me in any way. And I wrote a list of all of those qualities. And then for each and every quality, I would write down what I wanted instead. So for example, he slept a lot. He worked really, really hard, but then he didn't have much time for else. So he slept a lot and he was just unmotivated. So unmotivated might've been on, you know, well, it definitely was. It was on the road, my word. And I'd ask myself, what do I want? I want someone that's driven. I want someone that's got life force in them that wants to create. I want someone that's creative. You know, I want someone that is just so excited to adventure in life and to look beyond the TV and to, you know, do, get out and hike and, you know, explore and do these things. He didn't want kids. Well, I definitely want someone that wants kids. He didn't really like to travel. I want someone that wants to travel, right? He really wasn't into spirituality, definitely didn't believe in law of attraction, thought, ooh, look how good I am when I manifest something good, but then would play the victim when, you know, and not take responsibility. So I wanted someone that was could fully be responsible and see themselves as the creator that they are. So this then became my list, right? This is my list of now Frederick. And these were non-negotiable for me because I've had the opposite of that. And these are the things that I wanted. And so then I focused my attention on what would it be like to be with a person like this? Who would I have to be to attract a person like this? If I had a person like this in my life, how would that make me feel? What would really be the essence of that? And I would think, gosh, I'd feel connected. I would feel stimulated. I would feel love, I'd feel growth. And so I would feel all that as I thought of him, as I would imagine the fulfillment of him in my life. And I could think of restaurants I'd go with him and adventures we would go on, things that we would do together. And so just thinking of a person that was not yet in my life, I felt great thinking about it, thinking about him, thinking about life with him. So when it could be a financial situation, right? write out all the things that you're so tired of with your money, not having enough, having to struggle, being in debt, you know, trying to figure out how you're going to pay the bills, trying to go and get more clients, or, you know, whatever it is. Write out all the contrasting things and then ask yourself for each of these points, what is it that I want? And then to extend beyond that, to have that level of clarity, I would write out like a script. You know, I now have this partner that has da, 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 da. And I love when I'm with him and I love doing this. I love sharing this so that I'm in the feeling and the vibration of already having it, because it's that feeling of having it where you're already a vibrational match to what we want. Because as we were talking about with the desire, right? Here, usually it's here. So we have to raise up our vibration to be able to match it. And when we do, it's really who we become in the process, like we talked about. We raise the vibration, now we get it. So now this is a new platform to which start. We're here. Let's just stand there. So we're here. We have a new desire. It's here. Who do we have to become in the process of it? And on it goes. It's always managing that gap. And the gap is the havingness of it, the fulfillment of it. And that comes quicker to us, because you cannot attract what you want from a place of lack or the absence of it or the opposite of it. It just defies law.
Yeah, I came to mind when I was going through my divorce. I had to pay quite a lot of legal fees, which are needed. I remember telling myself, applying those laws, every time I click that send or that payment button or that check, I would open my heart up and I would tell myself certain affirmations like, my freedom is priceless. Mm-hmm. You know, my whatever, blah, blah, blah. These things that I'm like, I am worthy. And what better way to say that than, you know, exchange of energy, this money. And even though I didn't save very much during that time, I was able to afford it. And I would even move $1 into my savings account. And I would just bless that dollar and say that, you know, this is enough. And I think it's putting those things that you just said into practice when you're doing those actions is flipping that script of like, yes, even if you can only pay half your bill, send that half of that bill or $1 of that bill off with love. And be grateful that you could pay that much. Yes. And that's, for me, that was really helpful and practical, and applying those affirmations or that flipping of those thoughts day to day. It was super helpful.
It's everything. It really is. I mean, that really is the secret. Because how many people they want a divorce to pay all these legal fees. Now they're pissed off even more at the partner that, you know, could have been, should have been, would have been. And now they're having to, you know, waste all their hard earned money to, you know, have separation. And so they're resentful, they're hurt, they're all that. Resentful, holding on to resentments and hurts are like scorpions and snakes.
Yeah.
They're going to bite you every time. And those are the kind of things that hurts and resentments and fears and angers and all that kind of stuff that siphon off your precious, powerful energy. And when you can look at a situation and, like you said, like, I have nothing but absolute love and appreciation for my previous husband and for who I became in my relationship with him. I definitely wouldn't have attracted a man like Frederick if I wouldn't have been in that 8-year relationship with him. He was the fertile ground for my true ideal partner. And I have so much, oh my gosh, gratitude for him. And even through that, I was leaving with love, you know, not resentments and not frictions and not angers. I had it, I would clear it and let myself just come back into alignment. And one story I wanted to share, this is right after, first book. Well, one of my first books is about my third, but my first book that hit the New York Times, it was Taming Your Alpha Bitch. And I had written it with a co-author. And for me, one of my desires was to become a New York Times best-selling author the moment I became an author, you know, years and years before that. So I wanted to put everything to that because for me, it was credibility, just all this stuff, right? And so I had spent a lot of money and invested, I should say, a lot of money and put about $125,000 on credit cards. And so I remember after it was over, goal was attained, you know, for marketing and being on PR and all these different things that I did. I was walking into the shower and I was feeling the heaviness of like this burden of credit card debt. And I went, no, I'm just going to bless those cards. I am going to be, I have so much gratitude that I had those five cards, that each one of those credit card companies had so much faith in me that I would be able to pay it back, which I know I will be able to. I'll do it quickly. I'll do it effortlessly. But gosh, look what those things, that credit card afforded me to do, allowed me to do, because now I forever have the title of New York Times bestselling author because of the different strategies that I invested in. So I completely shifted my perspective. And 2 days later, all of a sudden I had a download, you know, I wonder how much money the merchant account has in reserve. And contacted the merchant account and they had $260,000 of my money on reserve that they had not been releasing. I didn't think about it. My bookkeeper, nobody thought about it. In 2 days from continuing to bless my credit cards, I was completely out of debt, $125,000 plus had more to play with. So that's truly the power of this.
I think people, you know, coming from a high, possible high contrast like that, and shifting in and really mastering your thoughts and mastering your emotions, to me, it's like, I envision this like slingshot, you know, as a kid with like the stones.
Yeah.
And it kind of propels you forward. I don't know why that's the picture I always get in those situations. And
so true.
You know, you wouldn't have come to this work. I wouldn't have come to this type of work if we didn't have some sort of a contrast point or a wake up to like, hey, I'm not really liking what I'm having right now. What else is out there? And we get so stuck in our own programs, our own stories, our own thoughts. I think it's like 70 to 90% of our thoughts are the same exact thoughts we think the day before. And yes, kind of transitioning into, I know we wanted to kind of discuss vice freedom and how we can free ourselves from our own vices.
That's a big discussion. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it really is like, for example, you're talking about those contrasting situations, right? We might look at a contrasting situation, like let's just take our divorces, right? We could look at that as bad and wrong. It was failed. We failed. We're bad for that. You know, we could beat ourselves up. Well, if we start that kind of conversation and not shift it the way both of us did, we could feel really bad. And we could feel a lot of shame and a lot of guilt and a lot of anger and a lot of resentment. Well, that energy is inside of us. And so if I'm feeling pretty crappy inside of my own skin, I'm going to go try to escape. I'm going to try to go smoke a joint or drink a bottle of wine or grab a margarita or a box of cookies or a bar of chocolate or, you know, 10 cups of coffee or, you know, all the different things that we do excessively on a consistent basis to try to anesthetize ourselves from how we're actually feeling. And just even from a manifestation law of attraction perspective, if you're feeling bad, and then you go use something to mask and, you know, cover up the feeling, that vibration of bad is still going out into the universe. You haven't shifted anything. You might temporarily feel a little bit, oh, when you smoke the joint or have the glass of wine or have the cup of coffee or go shopping or whatever it is. It's temporary relief, but it's not hitting the core. And you said something that was mastering our thoughts, mastering our emotions. I call that having energy mastery. What we say, what we think, our emotions, if we could just sit with the shame that we feel and not have to sit with it and stay with it and let mind, you know, make us feel worse, but be able to isolate the thoughts from the emotions and just feel the energy of those emotions to finally let them release where they've been stuck, then we would be back in the possibility of being connected to the divine that loves us and be able to think like it does instead of shaming ourselves, actually enjoy ourselves and love ourselves. And when we start to enjoy ourselves and love ourselves and adore ourselves and have respect and honor for ourselves, we won't need to go get something else because we're actually fulfilled from within feeling good. So the need for the vices goes away when you have that sense of fulfillment from within. So that's a cliff note version about that.
Yeah, I hear you. And for me, I like to point out, and I've said this before on the show, how caffeine and coffee can be one of those vices and we don't even realize. And for me, it's like, okay, if I don't feel like I'm fully aligned or I'm like high vibing, what am I going to do? Go grab some coffee, you know? And it's, I'm doing better with pausing myself. I'm like, okay, do I need this cup of coffee? Do I want this? Am I avoiding some emotional state? And I have to be, I just love coffee though, but I have to be more present with myself and say, what's really going on? And
well, there's a difference though. If you're like, ooh, I just love the feeling.
Yeah, that's different.
Right. And I'm in the vibrational feeling place of yumminess of eating that piece of chocolate. Right there. Oh, that's going to feel so good to just sit with my friend on a deck somewhere and have a glass of wine. That's a very different thing and a very different experience than I'm feeling empty. So I need that cup of coffee to make me feel better.
Yep.
Right.
1,000%.
And it's the same exact thing we're talking about towards a desire that we have. If you're motivated by greed to get this desire, or you think that you're missing something in your life, and so that's what propels you to get this desire, the avenue to get there is not going to be as joyful and fulfilling as, ooh, that would just be a fun desire. I want to experience that. I want to manifest. I want to put energy towards that. It's the same thing. The goal might be the same thing, or the desire might be the same thing for two different people, but it's the who you become in the process, like we talked about, but it's like the energy that you give towards that desire. Two people could get there to that desire. One person could feel that total fulfillment along the way to the desire and get it and feel like, oh, that was awesome. Someone else could feel lack, finally get there with hard work and effort, get the desire, and they're like, is that it? I thought that was going to fulfill me. Next, maybe it's not this amount of money. Maybe I have to make this amount of money. Huh, maybe it wasn't getting married. Maybe I should have a baby. Oh, that didn't do it. Maybe I should have another baby, you know, and on and on and on it goes. So if we're feeling that isolation, that disconnection, that lack, that separation, you were saying victim consciousness, if we're feeling that on our way to anything, it's just not going to be a joyous journey.
And we're meant to feel joy. It's meant to be fun. Like I try to remind myself, this is just one big playground, if you will.
Yes. Yes. We have the divine that in that thought of us that had the desire factor to individualize itself into each one of us. And it's in fun, it's in joy, it's in creativity. And when we connect with that part of us, we get to let that part flow. Just that, you know, most of us were conditioned that hard work and struggle and drive and prove yourself and got to make everybody happy and, you know, all the things that are not of the alignment. Because who did we learn those things from? Well, the people that raised us in society, and, you know, they weren't necessarily the most connected people to teach us that stuff, but how they couldn't teach us what they didn't know. And so it's now an opportunity, and thank goodness that, you know, this information is more readily available because we're all a little bit more, some may not be, but there's a lot more of us that are awake and aware and becoming more so every day to the fact of getting out of that lower level place of victim consciousness where things happen to us, instead of getting into that next level of what we're talking about of being a deliberate creator, where we're the cause and the effect is what we give out.
Can you talk a little bit about I know this is not true, but sometimes looking in, this is a new concept. People think, well, you know, I'm not going to just sit there and meditate all day and, you know, the money's just going to appear on my lap. And, you know, we're so stuck in this matter to matter approach that people are like, I have to do something. So can you walk us through this like kind of sweet spot that's in between this matter to matter and then all this woo-woo, you know, quantum?
Yes, I would love to. That's exactly what my entire book, Quantum Success, is all about. It's really towards work and money, but it's the whole concept. And I'll just cliff note the book for you. It's really about alignment and momentum, because what you're talking about is you got some people in the camp of, I'm just going to sit around and meditate and be aligned and just be positive and, you know, and just be there and I won't have to do anything. And then you've got other people on the other side of the spectrum. It's like, do more, go faster, overwhelm, you know, work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week and work till I'm exhausted. And just as long as I'm doing some kind of action, well, that will get you some level of success. But when you do both and you combine both together, when you create the alignment with that energy flow, when you actually meditate and do positive affirmations and, you know, connect with the pure potentiality that is you and really become an energy master, flowing the energy that you want. You have the beliefs of what you're wanting to create. You have the words that you're speaking, that it is done and it is so. When you're feeling the possibility and the fun and the joy along the way, and you're taking action, that's the sweet spot. It's doing both. And we are not one or the other. We are not just metaphysical, non-physical. There's, you know, pure energy all around us, but we in, you know, the divine mind became a consciousness inside of a physical unit. The divine needs us to be able to create, because the divine cannot write a book. The divine cannot do a podcast. The divine cannot, you know, write an email or step on a stage. The divine needs the physical counterpart to be able to live through, to create through, in order to take that action so that that flow can actually manifest into something. So we're both and, we're not one or the other. So it's not just stay home and meditate. I actually talk about in the book how I did an experiment, how when I was a pharmaceutical rep, I was having good success because I was out talking with doctors and, you know, knew my stuff and all that. And I kind of compartmentalized my spiritual work in a different way, even though I was having success. And I thought, wow, what if I start combining, like before I go into the doctor's office, intending what I want, visualizing what I want, seeing my numbers increase, seeing the connection that I want, having perfect timing so the physician is there when I walk in the office. And all of that started lining up and my numbers exploded, that I was one of the top sales reps in the entire country making the most amount of money. And so I went, huh, if taking action produced a result, and then when I aligned with the energy produced an even greater result, the energy must be the key. So I did an experiment. I said, I am not going out to a doctor's office for 1 month. And I didn't. I took an entire month off. I would visit energetically my doctors. I would sit around and meditate. I almost like sprinkled energy on there of my medication and, you know, kind of put a flashing signs in their energetic face and all that kind of stuff. And my numbers like completely took a dive bomb. The next month, right, the first of the month, I was back at it, alignment and momentum, and my numbers started skyrocketing. My manager was like, what happened? Can't tell you. You can still fire me. Yeah. But that was my experiment, and it was really showed me that it's not just the energy. It is not just the action. It's a combination of both.
Yep. It's that aligned action. And you know, when you're aligned and you're feeling that positive emotion, that's when you take the actions. That's when you get the intuitive downloads to take the actions. And something what you said before made me think of this is that aligned action, but the divine working through us, that it needs the physical manifestation to create, to speak, to write. And that's when I'm creating, or even talking or writing, I'm just like, I get me out of the way and step aside, and whatever needs to come through will come through.
Yes.
And for me, that's the beautiful way of taking a line action, but it's like a higher part of me, that channeling state of creating, which is a little bit different than what you were saying, but the same respect of like, we all are just, the Rumi quote I think of is we're not just the ocean, or not one drop in the ocean, but we're the entire ocean in one drop.
Yes.
And so we're all experiencing all these little lives as this one divine being. And we can tap into that through creativity, through any way. And I think for me, it's like, it gets my ego and more in check, but it also allows me to see a higher perspective in my own work. And I use this in journaling, like how you were saying at the beginning of the episode of, okay, this is what I don't want. What do I want? Kind of a thing. And I do that when I'm journaling or throughout the day, I tell myself in my head, what am I working towards? And I ask myself questions of how can I feel more love? How can I feel more free or whatever throughout the day when I'm journaling? You know, you can coach yourself through that, and you know it's your higher self, your intuition, when it's very direct, how it feels. But if you start spiraling of like, well, I could have worked out this morning, but I didn't because of didn't get enough sleep. That's not your intuition talking.
No.
That is something else.
Yes. That's the lower self. That's the limited self. Yes. And you know that because the higher divine self always feels good, and it's inspiring, and it's life-giving, and it's expanding.
Yeah. Well, with that, I would love to keep talking for hours. Was there anything else that you wanted to kind of cover or wrap up before we end our conversation today?
Just know that, I mean, all of us have the ability to be masterful of our lives. And when you start understanding that, when you're masterful of your energy, your life actually matches. It vibrates with what you're giving out. So we all have the choice of how we're going to be influenced and what we're going to be influenced by. And we have to know what energy that is. I mean, right now there's a lot of fear going out on the whole airways. And, you know, are we going to allow ourselves to be influenced by that? Or are we going to tap into the divine that is literally our life partner, because it's breathing us. It's never not with us. It's beating our hearts. It's circulating our blood. It's our source. It's our provider. It's our protector. It's our, you know, truly our well-being, our abundance, our success, our loving relationships. That's what we're divinely designed for. And so in times like this, or any time for that matter, that energy is coming at you, you can either choose to have yourself be influenced by the physical plane that feels limited, or by a higher plane that feels unlimited.
Yep. It's simply a choice.
It is always free will.
Free will. Well, thank you, Christy, so much for coming on. I know I really enjoyed our conversation today, and I'm sure all the listeners are also very grateful for you showing up, not only for us today, but for yourself, and really listening to that higher self of you and continuing to become that higher version. So everybody knows, I always challenge our guests today, how may we, the listeners, be of service for you in return, our little gift of gratitude?
You know, honestly, I would just love for everybody to go to watchyourwords.com and start that 30-day video series. It's free. You'll be amazed at the words that you say that pull your energy down, that are rooted in lack. And that's my challenge, is that start shifting your words and you'll start feeling differently. You'll start seeing, and you'll get different options. Each day I give a word or a phrase why you want to shift it, and then what you want to say instead, or different options that you could say instead. And you do that, and you will be creating more light within yourself. You'll be able to be more connected to pure potentiality. And more of us on this planet need to be that way. We need to, it's time that we all start awakening up to our true power. And it starts with what we say. It starts with our words. And it says in the Bible, in the beginning, there is the word. So it's the beginning of all creation.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful. I am.
Watch
what you say. Well, thank you again. And I just have to say, if you are a passionate person who wants to help the world, change the world, it starts here first. It starts with change yourself, and the world will change. Energy will always, always match up. So thank you again, Christy, for coming on. I so enjoyed talking with you today.
Lauren, thank you for what you do in the world, and thank you for having me as a guest. I'm truly honored to be with you and to get to spread light with you and be a light worker with you.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.